Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Welcome to Full of Hot
and Cold
Air. On today's episode, we've got our first recurring guest, Sarah Zook. Here we go. Welcome and thanks for joining us on today's episode of Full of Hot and Cold Air. Brendan Heckler, I've got in the studio with me today my wife, the usual host of Full of Hot and Cold Air. It looks like I'll be filling in with the interview role today. Also in the studio here, we've got Sarah Zook, our
Work wife.
What's that?
Our work wife.
Our work wife, yeah.
That's me. Hello.
The marketing and events coordinator extraordinaire here at Comfort Supply. So ladies, how are we doing today?
Fabulous. Good. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah. Thanks for making some time. And Sarah's a very busy woman, but we appreciate her making some time. And so why don't we dive right into it and talk a little bit about why you ladies are joining me today and what we're going to be talking about.
So Sarah and I just took a little business trip last week. We were in Denver, Colorado, which is a great city. We were there for an American Standard marketing meeting, and she and I walked away with a lot of really good insights. And we sort of just developed this plan of attack for all of our contractors for how to do business in the digital age, because that's sort of the newest landscape, I think, in terms of selling products.
It's huge.
Huge. Regardless of the industry, you know, online presence just, you know, gets bigger and bigger each year, and it's becoming increasingly important to be online. So Sarah and I wanted to sit down and sort of disseminate all of the information that we got and really weave it into this plan that we can distribute to our contractors who are probably scratching their heads saying, okay, what do I have to do and how?
Yeah, I mean, we, you know, just to reflect back to, I think it was the second episode or the third episode where we talked social media and HVAC, and we had a we still have a contractor that wants to have a Facebook business page, but doesn't want to have a personal page. And, you know, there's a definite, I think, misunderstanding out there and maybe, I guess, would you ladies say a fear from a contractor small business standpoint? Would you identify it as fear? What would you call it?
No, yeah, I think fear is a good word. And they, like Mary Beth said earlier, they don't know where to start. And I think everything that we learned last week is going to be super helpful in helping our contractors and getting them started and in the right direction.
Yeah, I think so too. I can understand some of the fear because social media changes, the rules change constantly. So it's kind of like you're being asked to play this game, but next week they're going to change the rules on you. Likewise with Google, they're constantly updating their algorithms. So what works for you last week may not work this week. And I can say from a personal standpoint, I mean, I'm constantly trying to figure out, okay, well, like, what are the best practices? How do we do this? How is Google going to rank this, you know, SEO term versus Facebook? So
I'm happy you're looking out for it because I don't think
the waters are very muddy. So hopefully we can bring a little bit of clarity to it.
Right, yeah.
Our limited expertise on the subject.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. Well, I think it was you, Sarah, that just said helping contractors figure out where to start. And I guess so. Why don't we begin there? If you know, if you're looking to start doing business more digitally, where is the first place you go?
Okay, so Sarah and I came up with the 7-step plan for our dealers, and step one, where we would say is like the very baseline of where you should begin, is to work with your manufacturers and see if they have like a locator, a dealer locator, a store locator, or anything on their websites. So this could be, you know, all the way up to if you sell cars. For example, I was looking at like Mazdas the other week, and it's, okay, where can I buy this? And then that'll take you all the way down to the local dealers. Versus even if you're a smaller company, or maybe you have a really niche or boutique-y type product, you want to go back to your manufacturers, to your vendors, and see what they're doing as far as marketing directly to the consumer. Just a quick little sidetrack here is the other week I was buying a dress online, and it was just this small small little designer. And I bought the dress online, but on her website, she did have an area that said, okay, well, like where am I selling in the stores? And there was a handful of stores across the US. Like I said, she was pretty small, but it was neat to see that it was on there, that she was making sure that people knew where to find her products.
I'm sure those stores appreciated it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, if you're working with a particular vendor or a manufacturer and they don't have this capability yet, it's definitely worth reaching backwards to say like, hey, this is going to help both of us. It's something to look into. How are you helping to drive traffic to my business? And it's sort of a symbiotic relationship, I would say, there, because you know, it's going to benefit them to direct traffic to your store. And likewise, you can really rely on your manufacturers, on your vendors to help bring in some local foot traffic as well.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And I guess I would say that you definitely want to get familiar with it. Obviously, if you are going to be on someone's dealer locator or whatever type of locator it is, know, is my email going to be attached to it? What email is it? Is a call tracking number going to be attached with that? Can I get somehow with the manufacturer to get the leads that are coming from this so I can see, are they recording
right,
these?
What does that flow look like? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So are they recording these? Can I get them monthly? Can I get them quarterly? So just get really familiar with everything. Would be my 2 cents on that.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point too, that a lot of these bigger manufacturers, if they're doing you the service of sending traffic your way, you better believe they are tracking it. So they're going to see how many of these leads have you accepted. You know, if they're sending phone calls to your office and they're going unanswered, you are probably going to fall down on their search rankings. So do some due diligence and figure out, in terms of finding your store location or your business location, what criteria are they looking for? What exactly do they expect of you? Is the expectation that every call or lead they send your way, you have 24, 48 hours to answer? Do they want your email address and your phone number? So it might take a little bit of digging on the part of the contractor to sort of figure out how are you going to be graded. But it's worth knowing that, because I think if, let's say, they are sending traffic your way and you're just a one-man shop and you can't get back to all of those leads, you may be doing yourself a disservice in the future, because if you're not answering those phone calls and emails, you're probably going to fall down on their list of people that they're going to recommend.
Yeah. And then, you know, our experience, the vendors, the manufacturer level, they're being less and less lenient on letting those, you know, info mailboxes be valid email addresses as well. They really want them going to an individual, knowing that there's a human being, you know, attending to that email lead, because that's valuable business that could be going elsewhere. If they've now solidified all of that back end locator information within their own industry or within you know, through their suppliers and their vendors, what's I guess where's the next place they look? What do those small businesses want to do now?
Google.
Google. Yes. Step two is Google.
It is. And this is equally as important to number one, if not more important. It's becoming more important as we move forward. Claim your business page on Google. So every business gets a free business page. You just go to google.com/business to reserve yours. And that means that when you do a Google search, Google will bring back, that's where they bring back the map and they show you. So if you're looking up like car dealerships in my area, it's going to pin all of those businesses on the map. So if you have not claimed your page, you are not going to show up on that map. This is, it's pretty easy to do as far as claiming your page. It is so important though, because as we move forward in this digital age, almost every single search that you do on the internet starts at Google. Do you, either of you use another browser?
I don't. Use Google.
No. Are you exclusively
for search
Google?
Yes. You mean search engine?
Yes, search engine, not browser. Duh. You're giving me this look like, what are you talking?
Because I use like 3 different web browsers. No, for search, I primarily use Google, absolutely.
I think it's kind of becoming like the name brand in search engines. And so I can't really speak to Bing or Yahoo or any of those, because, I mean, at this
Yahoo
point, no one really uses those. So just as, you know, make sure that you're doing all of your due diligence with Google. And like I said, Google's just become this like behemoth to deal with. And the earlier you set things right with them, the better you're going to be for the future. you almost have to, what is it, kiss the ring, so to speak. You have to get in good with Google, because if you're not an early adopter of it, or if you're a little bit hesitant, you're not going to do yourself any favors in the future.
Yeah, and I think I don't want to jump all the way ahead, but I think as we move through some of these other steps that you guys have come up with, that Google's going to only become more and more important. And it's really, you know, I think it might be step two here, but it's almost kind of step 1A, I guess, really, because if their industry doesn't have that in, you know, locator, or there's really not too much of that opportunity, then this is the primary place where their business is being found on a daily basis. So
exactly.
And we're really only going to build from here, right?
Yeah. You have to assume that all traffic, all digital traffic coming to your business is coming from one of two ways. Either someone's seeking it out on their own, they're going to Google. And for our industry, they're just Googling like HVAC dealers in my area. Or, you know, maybe if they're a little bit more brand specific, they're going to AmericanStandardAir.com, and then they're looking, you know, to see who installs that. So it's two different types of consumer. You either have the person whose AC has broken and they are looking for someone that can get in there yesterday to fix it, or they're like, okay, I need to replace this sometime in the future. I know this is the product that I want. Let me see who's available to install it. So it's two different sides of the same coin, but motivated by very different consumer behavior. And you need to make sure that you are available to be found either way. And I would argue that I think being, you know, able to be found on Google is probably more important, because if someone, you know, if their washing machine has broken, their air conditioner has broken, their car has broken down, they need to make a purchase pretty quickly. They're the type of person that's not going to sit around and, mm-hmm. you know, wait for somebody to give them a really good deal. They're just like, okay, this needs to be done, and I need it done right away. So you want to make sure that you're at the forefront so that they can find you and you can make that sale. And then I did want to just note on here, I found a really interesting statistic, and it was just about how many times people use the internet to find a local business. So if you're looking at it on a daily basis, about 12% of all users are looking for a local business on a daily basis. And then as you...
Out of all Google traffic, 12% is looking for a local service?
No, the stat that I'm looking at is just asking like a population of people, like how often in the past, you know, week or month,
okay,
or year.
Gotcha.
So 12% of people have done a Google search every day, pretty much. And I think I would probably fall into that category. Maybe not every day, but if you're looking at every week, multiple times a week, that's about 20%. So automatically between the every day and every week, you're looking at about 30% of all people. So mm-hmm. a little less than one third of all potential customers are looking on a weekly basis at a bare minimum for a local business. And then as you move up through, you know, every week, every month, every 6 months, by the time you get to a year, 97%. So people
have looked for something
for a local business. You know, and that's all local businesses, all the way from like, you know, a car dealership to a dry cleaner. So it's essential to make sure that you're able to be found.
I mean, we've got 32 people, and I would bet that 32 out of 32 probably are daily Googlers, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Or at least every other day. Mm-hmm. I mean, those numbers are probably people without computers. And, you know, I mean, those are really, mm-hmm. really great statistics, Mary Beth.
It's interesting to me, too, because I think if you're in the service industry, this is even more important, just because I think, now this is not based on scientific evidence by any means, but if I'm going to buy something online, I'm going right to Amazon. I'm not mm-hmm. even going to bother with a search. I know Amazon's going to get it to me in 2 days or less. It's going to be free shipping. I can read the reviews right there. So I think if you're selling a product, you just have to assume probably that someone's always going to look on Amazon to find it. Mm-hmm. And I think Amazon and Google are very similar in that sense, whereas if you're looking for a service, you're going to go to Google, okay, where is an exterminator near me? So I think if you are in the service industry, that is your Amazon in a way. Google is. That's where people are going to start. It's their jumping off point. So you want to make sure that you're found. So again, go to google.com/business to claim your page if you have not already done so.
And that's only until Amazon services really becomes a thing.
Which will probably...
It's here. I just don't think it's quite the place to... I mean, it's maybe something we're not quite familiar with, and maybe I shouldn't have brought it up because we're not super familiar with it, but it's
but it's worth
something that's out
to.
There. I mean, it's something mm-hmm. that's out there.
And I think and Facebook too.
Buzz about it. So yeah.
I think Facebook's trying to get in the service game as well.
So, you know, and again, we'll kind of get to some other tools that may exist and may be out there to streamline some of these things for small businesses, but the bottom line is that the digital world is growing, and that the consumer, that's where they're going to find your services. And then, so let's springboard right off of the, once you've got this business page, I guess, you know, now you're really, I guess you say committed, right? Now you've kind of said, okay, this is, I fundamentally want to focus things going on, digitally. What's the next step to incorporating that into like your real world day to day operations? How do you take digital to tangible, I guess?
Okay. So in our step process here, we would encourage all of our contractors to start with their Google reviews.
Okay.
And again, not even just our contractors, but anyone that's kind of taking this process. So what better way than to hear what other people have to say about you and your business? Mm-hmm. The more stars you have, the better it's going to look. If I'm on Google and I want to go somewhere to eat, but I see this place has 2 stars, I'm probably not going to go there.
No way.
Or even a service. If I'm going to go get my nails done and this place has 2 bad reviews and they're 1 star, I'm not going there. So we're trying to figure out, okay, now at this point you're on Google, and how can we get you to get good reviews so that people are going to come out and
maximize that presence.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to note here that companies that have more reviews and more good reviews are going to rank higher on Google's algorithm. So if you have a ton of 5-star reviews, you better believe that you're going to be one of the first people that shows up when someone's Googling like nail salon near me. If you only have 1 review, even if it is a 5-star review, you're going to show up a little bit lower in the rankings. And if you have very few reviews and they're very bad reviews, ooh, that is no good at all. So everybody has to start somewhere. So if you don't have reviews, it's worth maybe taking like a piece of print collateral to your customers when you're working on a job and saying, you know, did you like my service? You know, please rate, please give me a review mm-hmm. on Google, or just straight up asking people. I think people are a little bit hesitant to ask for feedback, but it's so important. So I think it's worth just, you know, it doesn't hurt to ask, put it that way. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, like Sarah said, so many people start by looking at reviews when they're looking for a service, or as we had said with Amazon, if they're looking at a product, they're not going to buy it if there's 2 stars. So you want to make sure that the reviews out there are good, but you also want to make sure they're valid. It's no secret that there's, you know, plenty of bots out there, plenty of people who are willing to write bad reviews. You never want to assume that your competition is not beneath paying somebody else to write bad reviews about you. It happens. Everybody knows that. So you do want to make sure that if you're looking through your reviews and you have bad reviews, you've either addressed them, you've responded in the comments, you know, if someone says, hey, we had this installation and it didn't go so well, just respond to it. That's going to go really far in the eyes of the customer. I'm sorry you had a bad experience. You know, I'd like to make it right. That goes a long way. Or if it's a completely invalid review, make sure that you challenge it. You try to get it taken down. You don't want to have your business start tanking because all kinds of bots in Russia are giving you 1-star reviews and you find out it was the guy down the street who is your direct competitor.
The Russian bots. Yeah.
Exactly. So,
you touch on something that, I was going to say that's really important as in terms of, the reviews. And I think it's, you know, good or bad is that responding to them, you know, that's, I think huge just to kind of further work your way down that solidifying your digital presence and really showing that, you know, not only have I claimed my Google business page? Am I maybe Google guaranteed, which we'll get to in a while, but like, I'm also actively paying attention to this. And when I get a review, I thank them for a good review. Or like you said, Mary Beth, I acknowledge, hey, I'm sorry Joe didn't take off his shoes and he got mud all over your carpet. We'll take care, you know, we'll do such and such, and, or please reach out to us and we'll address that for you. So I think, you know, kind of maintaining that active engagement in it is huge as well. I think, you know, it's one thing to encourage those reviews, but if you know, you get a good one, thank them. If you get a bad one, you know, acknowledge it, own up to it, and try and do right to fix it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely worth making sure that somebody on your staff, if not yourself, is paying attention to those reviews and that they're responding to them in a timely manner. It's not going to do you any good if you're responding 6 months later and someone's really mad. At that point, it's water under the bridge. But if someone leaves you a really angry review or a glowing review, make sure that you're responding to it in a pretty timely manner.
And actually, the woman from Google, the conference that Mary Beth and I were at, they had a representative from Google there, and she actually said, make sure you're telling your dealers just to respond regardless, even if it's one itty-bitty sentence or just a few words, thank you so much, make sure you're doing that. And I think the other thing, just talking about Google reviews in general, I think it's important for each company to learn to be able to customize how they want to get their reviews. I was talking with a dealer recently, and they're kind of in a bit of a smaller town, and their service guys that go out kind of know everyone, get their name. So we were kind of talking about what's your plan here? What do you want to do? And she said that they always follow up with a phone call and just say, how is everything going? Do you like what, is there any problems? Do you like what happened? Is everything okay? And so we kind of talked about after that phone call, just following up with some type of postcard. So I think it's important for everyone to be able to kind of customize and see what's going to work best for them. Is it a phone call? Is it a postcard? What exactly is it?
Yeah. And if it's an email, you can always include a link so that they're able just to click on the link and give you a review. You want to make sure that it's as easy as possible for somebody. You have to assume that unless the service was really terrible or really good, people probably aren't going to go out of their way to review you. I mean, you see this all the time with you either get 1-star or 5-star reviews. But what you're really interested in getting is
all of them.
You want to know what can I do better or, you know, how do I stack up? So the easier you make it for a customer to review you, the more that you will get. So whether that's a link or, like Sarah said, if you're sending out a postcard, look into putting a QR code on it so that they scan it, it opens it up, they type the review, and then it's taken, you know, maybe 2 minutes of their time, and they don't have to like go to their computer, sit down, Google search you, find you, log into their Gmail account, then leave you the review. You know, assume that people are lazy and that they want to do it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know, and I teed it up in the question, you know, talking about making it tangible, and I think you guys both touched on it. I think you don't really know what you're dealing with, you know? So I think having something tangible, whether it is a little postcard or a leave behind or something that you can look to, as opposed to just kind of talking about this, go review me on the internet type of a thing, you know, because that may be where they found you, and that may be, you know, but like you said, Mary Beth, they're not, you know, leaving something with them and giving them something to hold and remind them of how good your service was, I think is huge, and only going to urge them to go. And, you know, maybe it was a 4-star, but they left and now they're looking at this thing and they're remembering and they're like, no, they were really awesome. That was a 5-star service. And then you just got a 5-star review of a woman that maybe just thought you were 4 stars and wasn't even going to tell anybody about it. So I think just food for thought.
I think like for especially small businesses, it never hurts to ask. And I think I've just seen like a lot of times if I've gone to a small business and someone asks me to either give a review on TripAdvisor or Yelp or Google, like if someone asked me to do it and if it was a good experience, I'm always going to be willing to do it because I know small companies especially have a lot of, you know, it's a challenge to get your name out there. So just put it out there. Don't be afraid to ask. The worst
maybe someone should we be encouraging Google reviews?
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
Yeah, the worst someone can do is say no.
Yeah. And if they say no, then you're no worse off. And if they say yes, then you have an opportunity to get some good feedback and to hopefully increase some SEO.
Yeah, I'm monitoring them. One of them was a complaint about Mikey.
Oh, that's right.
To kind of put a cap, I guess, on the first 3 steps, you know, of our plan. And, you know, that's kind of where we've defined as wanting to have some presence, wanting to have a presence, wanting to at least commit to, you know, doing business and being found digitally.
Yeah, this is just more or less so that as we become more digital, you're not being left behind. This isn't like...
Right. And again, as we kind of talked about a little bit ago, it's really... not that this is, you know, a finite 1, 2, 3, you have to do them in these steps, but, you know, you ladies have kind of built this roadmap that really builds upon each step builds upon the prior steps as, you know, kind of solidifying this base and now really starting to build on top of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And so where do we start building on top of it?
So the next two steps, I would say, are for people who are looking to grow their business within the digital landscape. Okay. So this is probably not the like one and two truck kind of stop shops that are like, you know, I'm just trying to keep up with business, or maybe I'm looking to retire. This is probably people who are
really
looking to grow, looking actively, to add more staff. You know, they're not looking to retire in the next couple of years. This is definitely for people who want to grow. So we said step four was to either create a website or update your existing website.
And this is something Mary Beth, you and I think touched on in an earlier episode a little bit. And I guess just to kind of bring up some of that conversation, I mean, if there's anyone that has stuck with us this long, then they're probably like, well, they told me three episodes ago that I didn't need a website and that I should spend my money elsewhere. I can say that I personally said that. So
yeah, I did too.
I guess though, let's to maybe not backtrack or
backpedal a little bit.
Sure. I guess and really kind of, again, I think to Mary Beth's definer at the beginning, these are really the next two steps are four steps are really when, you know, you're approaching that growth phase. You're not, you know, so, you know, when we took that stance of, you know, the website, investing in a website isn't really worth it. That was, I think, a $5,000 spend with
yes.
trying to get your feet off the ground digitally. This is a little bit, you know, you're past that. You've got a budget now. You're looking to really sink your teeth into some growth in digital presence with your business.
Yeah. So let me backpedal a little. And that was funny you should say that, because as we were at this conference, we kept, you know, they were like, okay, make sure all your dealers have a website. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh shit, I just told people not to do a website. So backpedal a little bit. There are plenty of really good options out there for free websites. Squarespace is one, Wix is another. I guess when I had made the previous comments, I was thinking more of like, okay, if you have like $5,000 and you're looking to spend it, maybe putting it towards the website isn't the best use of your money.
Right.
That being said, if you want to be found online, you want to come up in a search, whether it's Google or Yahoo, as we've pretty much just trash talked and said is null and void, but any if you want to come up on any search engine, you want to have a website. However, as I keep saying, I think websites are dying, and here's my argument for that. Google is becoming more of a one-stop shop. It doesn't do Google any good if someone, like, you know, does a Google search and then they're leaving the search engine to go to someone's individual website. You want to make sure that you are able to be found. But as Google becomes more sophisticated, a lot of the information that you need is showing up right in the search. So it's going to show on a Google map where you're located. It's going to give your phone number, your email address, how to contact. So that is more or less my argument for it. I would say don't go out and spend a ton of money getting your website to look really fancy and, you know, have all the bells and whistles. I think a bare bones one is probably just fine. And I'll be really interested to see, like, you know, over the next couple of years as Google just continues to grow. That's where I have the same argument that I've had. I think websites are dead. I think in the future, you won't necessarily need one, particularly if you are not doing e-commerce. If someone can't buy something from your website, all of the information that they would need that they could get from your website, I think in the very near future, they're going to be able to find right on Google. But if you do have a website, make sure that it's up to date. Please don't have an old line card on there. A lot of times you'll see, like, you know, photos of the staff and, you know, half of the people have retired, someone got fired, someone else quit, like none of the faces are even relevant anymore.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that was, I think that was one of my dad's, I think my dad mentioned that actually yesterday. I forgot to tell you, Mary Beth, I'll tell you now live on the podcast. My dad yesterday at the sales meeting actually commended the website and marketing department here for the maintenance and the keeping the updates flowing, because we were doing some competitive comparisons recently online, and we certainly do a lot better job than others. So, and it's not easy, you know, it's not to those other small businesses that are running more sophisticated websites. You know, it's definitely a time suck and oftentimes an after hours time suck that a lot of people don't really see, I think, or appreciate, because the website is whatever people see that it is. And
so if you don't have a website, I think most people can get by, as I said, with just a landing page, which is essentially how do I get in touch with you? Give me, it's just going to have all of the information that you could find on any search engine. So your name, your address, phone number, how to get into touch, that's about it. That's about all you need. If you're looking to do this on a shoestring budget, or you don't want the maintenance, of course, if you already have a website and you're looking to update it and put a little bit of money into it, there's certainly other things that you can add to make it look a little bit more sophisticated. But I don't think it's worth dumping a ton of money in for a lot of contractors. It's just not a good spend, in my opinion.
But I would say, the other thing is definitely check with your manufacturer. Or in this case, we have the American Standard has free embeddable pages.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one thing that they don't have to spend any money on. Then with Mitsubishi, it's a small fee for their embeddable pages. But, it's basically next to nothing. Yeah, so oftentimes
you've got resources out there that can really help you without with little cost to you. And like Mary Beth said, you can build those really right into landing pages. So all you need to do is a GoDaddy domain and a starter page, and you can have at least a presence in some type of clickable, tangible presence as a website.
Yeah. So this, I feel like this stuff is kind of confusing because we're like, don't build a website, build a website, do a bare bones.
If you have a website, now you need to measure it.
Yeah, right.
So let's talk about that. And I guess if you do, let's say, and I don't think we're necessarily backtracking. I think there's just a lot of different, from our experiences, we know that there's a ton of different contractors that fit all different molds. Some of them have sophisticated websites that they've either stopped paying attention to. Some of them have never really built a website. Some of them are in the midst of rebuilding one that kind of is right in the middle right now. So there's a lot of different, I think we're trying to maybe speak to maybe one, two, or three different points of that decision-making process. And I think maybe, Mary Beth, you probably, I think, did just a really good job of speaking to the new website, and if you don't really have much of one. So let's now shift, I guess, to, let's say I've got a website and, I haven't really paid much attention to it, or maybe I think it needs refreshed, or, it's been some time. What are some things, a small business or an HVAC contractor or any type of contractor might want to look at or measure or look for in those websites to keep in mind and prepare themselves best for the future digitally?
So you're saying just to make sure I'm clear here, what would a good web page look like? A simple but effective web page. Is that sort of what you're asking?
Sure.
I think having a contact page, have a button on there that opens to an email or opens to some sort of form for how they can get in touch with you, whether they need a quote or they want someone to come out and look at something. That's super important. You want to make sure it's mobile optimized, and that means that you can look at it on your phone and you don't have to do the pinch and zoom. If your website is not mobile optimized, I'm going to go ahead and say that it probably hasn't been updated within the past decade. Mm-hmm. In which case, please do yourself a favor and update your website, because I think, as I've mentioned before, I think if your website is really old and clunky, you are probably doing yourself a disservice.
Absolutely.
You don't need a sophisticated website, but you do want it to be modern. Simple does not have to be the enemy of modern. You want to make sure that it's mobile optimized. If someone's looking on their phone, can they click on the phone number and is it going to call you right away? So that's another, key for having your website be mobile optimized. Like I said, there are a lot of free tools out there. If maybe you don't have a website, or if you're looking at your website and you're like, hey, this hasn't been updated in forever, use one of the free website builders. Most of those come with mobile optimization, or do a quick Craigslist or Reddit search. Mm-hmm. There's always someone out there who can build you a website, for $1,000. It's not going to be anything fancy, but it'll be enough to get you by. And I think Sarah and I were just looking at a website the other day. I'm not going to name any names, but,
please don't.
We won't. I don't even know if it was one of our guys, but it had like one of those counters at the bottom, like when back from like the
visitors. Man, can we put one of those on our website?
No, that to me was like, oh my God, I haven't seen one of those basically since the internet was invented. And I was just kind of like cringing, like, oh my God. And then I think we did see on there that, what was it, 2008?
Something,
I
think it had last 2007 or something like
it
that.
It was old. Yeah. So if it's 2007, it might as well be like 1975. In the internet age.
I want one of those.
Yeah. No, he's kidding. Do not put a counter on your website. Don't do that. That counters, does not help anybody.
counters are awesome on websites.
They're not. Man. They're not. He's joking.
Just to tap onto that, if you do have a website or you're looking to make any updates to your website, another thing I would definitely absolutely do and make sure that If you don't understand it or it's a little over your head, you again find someone on the internet that can for a reasonable fee get Google Analytics installed on that website. You don't want to really spend much more than a couple $100 on that website, and if you don't know how many people are even going to it, so that's huge. It's not something that just comes with most websites, but it's a really, really simple string of code to paste into the back end and track everything that's happening on that website. So that's really, really something else that you want to make sure you're doing if you do go the website route. And so I guess should we go to the next step? Is there anything that we want to tie a bow on websites? Sarah, what's your favorite website?
What's my favorite website? Well, I guess just in talking, like listening to everything we're saying, you remember in grade school, I can't think of what exactly it was for, but they always said like, KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yes. Yeah.
Like to me, that's like, keep your website simple. Like, remember the KISS rule. Keep it simple, not stupid, because I don't want to call anyone stupid. But, and yeah, just you
keep it super simple.
Keep it super simple. There we go. You want this? You want to be proud of it. Like it's like your house. Like inviting someone into your living room, the way you decorate. Like you want to be proud of this. So let that reflect.
And the less things you have, the less messy it can be.
Exactly. There we go.
Yeah. You can have, I always say I'm an aspiring minimalist. So take the same.
She's not very good at it.
That's because I have a husband who is addicted to Amazon Prime. But yeah, you can, like I said, you can have like a really clean minimalist website and it's still valuable. So don't let simplicity be the enemy of good design.
Absolutely. All absolutely.
Right. Okay. So moving on,
tell us about step five.
Ooh, okay. So, we broke it down here as to manage your online presence.
Tell me what that means, Sarah.
So basically what this means is, so let's pretend my name right here is Bob's HVAC and I'm at 123 Kitten Avenue, Pittsburgh, PA 15136. We want to make sure that online I'm consistent everywhere. I don't want to be Bob's Heating and Cooling on one thing with, instead of Pittsburgh, PA, just PGH. 123 Cat Avenue. We want to make sure everywhere we're the same. So that's Google Maps, that's Yelp, that's anywhere online that basically you'd be out there. We want to make sure that your online presence is consistent, because if someone searches you under one thing, you may not show up in all these places, and we want to make sure that you are going to be found everywhere.
We see this a lot because we have a lot of guys that are, yeah, like Sarah said, Bob's Heating and Cooling. So people are generally unsure. Is it Bob's Heating and Cooling? Is it Bob's Heating ampersand Cooling? Make sure that, yeah, like as Sarah said, you're consistent. And we also see a lot of like, you know, it'll say HVAC on one platform. It'll say heating and cooling on another. It might say heating and plumbing. Get all of your stuff in line.
Yeah. So,
And I guess what would you ladies say is the, what's the best approach for that? Because we, you know, we talked about how important Google is, and so now, you know, further down the line, it's kind of just making sure that really this is kind of going back to maybe step two, I guess, and kind of checking the other boxes in terms of, okay, how can I further grow that online presence? How can I hit the Bings, the Yahoos, the what have yous? Correct?
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So it's really just looking at every channel that you are currently on, whether, yeah, if it's Google, if it's Yahoo, Facebook, it's going to take it's going to take time more than anything. Mm-hmm. It's free, I think, in all channels to update your information and to make sure it's consistent. It's just a matter of combing through all of your data to make sure that it's coherent and that it all matches. And in some cases it might go back to branding as well, because if you're looking at your business card and it says Bob's Heating and Cooling and your website is, you know, Bob's HVAC, you have to figure out, okay, well, what am I? Who am I? And making sure that, like,
who are you?
Exactly. Who am I? It's a little bit, it's finding your identity and, looking to see if your business is having an identity crisis, or can you be found under multiple names? That's not doing you any favors. Make sure that you have one name that pulls up.
Sarah, maybe you can talk a little bit more to this, I guess. The real reason this step kind of comes so far down the line is that you may actually have some tools within your given industry, like for instance, our American Standard customers, if there are any listening, there's a really cool tool and resource that they can use, Sarah, right, to kind of, I guess, do this for them, basically. Is that right?
Yep. So just within this past spring, American Standard actually started working with the DAC group. And basically what the DAC group does is exactly what we just said. And like Mary Beth said, this is going to take some time for someone to sit down and do it, which obviously if you have the time, that's great. But a lot of us don't have the time.
Yeah.
And the DAC group will actually do exactly what we just said. They're going to go out on everything out there, the Yelps, the Google, they're going to go on the maps, all that stuff. And they're going to make sure that you're consistent everywhere. And they're doing this for you. And the great thing is, for our American Standard dealers, if you are a customer care dealer, this is actually free to you.
That's awesome.
So if you're listening and you're a customer care dealer and you haven't heard from them yet, call us. but hopefully you have. And again, with the conference we were at, we've heard a lot of success. And this may sound weird, like, well, obviously I use my name, my business name on everything.
Right,
like, why wouldn't I?
But how does it look out there?
Exactly. But how does it look out there? And we actually broke up and we did, we got to take a look at some real contractors. They were not Comfort Supplies contractors. But it's way more common that people are using tons of different names.
Sure.
And like Mary Beth said, are you spelling it out? Are you saying, and are you just using the symbol? What are you doing? So I'm sure there's some other companies out there like DAC Group that can do this. But
definitely I think the message is, look for some help first, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I think, to Mary Beth's point, it's if you've got someone that's, you know, you've maybe hired or have tasked with this digital presence, this digital baby is yours, then by all means, sic them on, you know, every search engine and map known to man. But if you don't have that and you're of the smaller company variety, but you're trying to get, you know, further and further down that those steps to growing digitally, then, you know, look within your industry, look to some of your suppliers, vendors, ask for help, or, you know, Google it. I mean, I believe the relationship American Standard has is proprietary, but I'm sure there's, like Sarah said, plenty of different, services that offer that type of service for you, or at the very least, I'm sure there's someone sitting on Reddit that for a small fee would spend a day or two helping you out. So,
so to tee off of that, there were two sub points I wanted to bring to light.
By all means.
If you have a 1-800 number that shows up as your phone number, that can kind of be a no-no as well, because sometimes your business card might have your local area code and your website has a 1-800 number. Make sure that your phone numbers are consistent. And especially if you are a small local business, I would shy away from using the 1-800 number. People assume that if they call an 800 number, they're going to have to press one to speak to this person, right, or two. They just want to talk to a live person.
Right.
Especially in our industry, if their AC is broken, they are not going to call a 1-800 number.
No, they want
somebody
service
that is going to pick up the phone and help them right then and there. Yeah. So if you're doing call tracking with a 1-800 number, I would maybe not put that out there. And similar to that, PO boxes, if you're using a PO box, make sure that you have a physical location, mm-hmm, for, mm-hmm, your business, so the people know that you are local and they don't assume that you're just like this shell company that's, you know, using a 1-800 number, collecting stuff through a PO box. That can kind of be a turnoff to people who are looking for somebody local, somebody small, somebody that can get to them right away. So
agreed.
All right.
So actually, I was going to say kind of what the two things we just talked about, which were create and update your website and then manage your online presence. They both kind of tie together in what we have learned. It's called Buzzboard. I'm sure there's lots of other services out there like that as well. And basically what it is a report card of you and your online, on your online digital presence and just kind of everything. And so this is kind of what I was talking about. Mary Beth and I broke up into groups and we actually got to look at actual contractors and they actually gave us their Buzzboard report. And so what we did is we took a look, and so it's,
was it scary?
Mine was actually kind of scary. I don't know what was yours. So to explain a little bit more about it, it's basically like you're getting graded on a test in high school. So it goes from 0 to 100. And again, I'm sure there's tons of other services out there like this. But what they're going to do is they're going to take a look at everything about you and everything where you're showing up online. So first they're going to look at your website and they're going to say, okay, so when I'm looking at this on my phone, these pictures are not showing up properly, and they're going to grade that. So they're going to grade what it's going to look like on other devices. And there's tons of other different, you know, things that fall into this. One of the things also is your local presence management. So are you consistent? I don't know what else was on there, Mary Beth. I think some of your social media could have even played a factor into that as well.
Yeah, it was like, do you have social media? If so, like the case study that we had, the guy had a link to YouTube on his website, but I don't think he actually had a YouTube page. So that would negatively affect your score.
I can imagine.
Or I think the example we had as well, the guy had a Facebook page, but he literally reposted the same exact picture, like, once a week, that's not doing yourself any favors.
Right.
So it's just looking across, like all channels, making sure that everything's consistent, that if you say you have a YouTube page, you actually have one. Mm-hmm. It's a really good tool because it gives you, a 10,000-foot view of your business in the digital landscape.
We should probably have, we should have a lot of this stuff. Like, we need a counter for sure. I'm not going to let go. Like,
counters, we're not getting a counter on the website.
But I also think, this Buzzboard sounds cool.
We
have the option to install it on all of our stuff. Okay, mm-hmm. Very cool.
Yeah,
very cool.
So.
And you know, I guess, that's, if you're listening, we're not even above stuff
right.
like that. I mean, that's, and I don't think any business should. I think, these ladies know I love to measure everything. I love to get reports.
That's why he wants a counter on the website.
That's why I like, trust me, I know what the counter says. I just want everybody else to see it. because it's valuable information. It's,
right.
you can't grow, you can't change, you can't be better if you don't know where your shortcomings are. So, it's just valuable information that I think is, if it's out there and you've got the ability to put your hands on it, I don't see why you wouldn't. That's all. So cool. I think those are really great, two great, really great points of how to start growing the business digitally. Is there anything we want to tie a bow on the kind of middle bracket of the steps to success?
If I want to grow my business? No, I think just, in conclusion, if you have a website, make sure that it's clean. And if you are using multiple channels, make sure there's consistency. So cleanness and consistency are the name of the game if you are trying to expand your digital footprint.
Perfect. I love it. Sarah, anything?
I agree. Keep it super simple.
Keep it super simple.
Love it.
Yahoo! Okay, so let's move on to what would be the first step if you wanted to be the best American Standard digital dealer?
If you wanted to be the best. So this is people who are, I don't want to pigeonhole anybody, but this is really for those people that have the staffs to support a lot of growth. So again, you could probably be a one or two man shop, and yeah, you want to be the best, but this is someone who's really committed to growing digitally. So just know what you're getting into, and know the commitment that it takes beforehand. So if you've taken all of these steps and you have a website, you've managed your online presence, you're really active in Google reviews, the next step would be getting social media savvy.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we did touch on this a couple episodes ago. Obviously, we had a big one talking about how social media is becoming more and more important.
Yeah, and I don't think we really got too deep into it. And I guess... maybe let's just approach it from the importance and kind of in the grand overall scheme of this strategy.
Yeah, we won't get into too many best practices. Just suffice to say that if you are going to be on social media, know that it's a commitment, which is why we've ranked it number 6 out of these 7 steps. Not that it's any more or less important, but that's going to be a lot more time consuming than claiming your Google My Business page.
I just want to tie before you moved on from the time commitment, I just wanted to, because there's really no going back. It's not so different from the website in that, you're almost hurting yourself if you start that Facebook page and then you let it become dormant, or you've got this Twitter account with an egg profile picture and one tweet that says, "Hey world," and then nothing for 3 years. I mean, you're doing your company's presence a disservice by letting that association with your company's brand, to your point, Mary Beth, a brand, be out there negatively affecting and impacting potentially your brand. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, I think of it like a good analogy would be if you're going to build a shed in your yard, you want to make sure that you're painting it, that you're keeping up with it. Otherwise, it just becomes this decrepit thing that's living on your property. Likewise with social media or a website. If you're going to put the money into building a website or, hiring somebody to take care of your social media, make sure that they're keeping up with it, because the last thing you need is this clunky old shed living out there on the internet that is representative of your company and your brand.
Right. And I think it, kind of comes back to that commitment. It's, if you've gotten to this point of the process and you're listening to this and you're saying, "What, really? Someone to do social media?" Then you're probably maybe comfortable the step prior to this, right? I mean, mm-hmm. if that sounds, kind of a little too much, then maybe going all in to this extent is a little bit, maybe not for you, but, you just want to make sure that you're cultivating a consistent, I guess, presence out there. And it's not that you've got to be, I don't think we're really saying a daily Facebook post or a daily tweet or anything like that, but you want to be active, you want to be engaged, you want to certainly want to acknowledge when customers or consumers are trying to communicate with you, right? I mean, it's not, I don't think we're, again, trying to scare anyone, but there's, a certain commitment that comes to it. And there may be some people out there that are saying, "Holy shit, I jumped into Twitter 5 years ago, or did I screw up?" And no, you can always come back from it, but it's not, you just don't want to, if you can avoid that negative impact on your business, you might as well.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like without going too deep into tactics and strategies, don't get yourself too worked up thinking, oh my gosh, like this is going to be, you know, I need to devote 30 hours a week. Certainly you can if you're looking to, but, you know, posting job photos once a week or an update or, you know, reposting some branded content from some of the vendors or distributors that you work with is a great way to stay relevant without having to, you know, devote a ton of time to it.
I believe the folks at the Full of Hot Air Facebook page posted a really good image a couple weeks ago.
They did, yeah.
About with ideas of what to post.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you were in need. So,
and certainly you are always welcome to reshare our posts. So if you need to anybody listening out there, if you are like, hey, I need to post something on Facebook this week, but I don't know, plug.
We would love the 4 shares. It would be awesome.
Yes.
So thanks to the handful of you.
Please share.
And Sarah, I guess from your perspective and in regard to social media, what, as the marketing and events coordinator, it's, you know, you don't really see, I guess, a lot of, because I'm trying to think of how to phrase this I guess to maybe step back, we'll maybe kind of define. So Sarah's role really is managing the co-op and the advertising efforts for our contractors. And I guess because of maybe the low cost of entry into social media, you don't really seem to get involved in that side of things with the contractors, right? I mean, right. There's more of the, you know, you're seeing what they're doing on television or what they're submitting for magazine spends or what have you, or radio,
right,
or something.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
That. So I guess that, you know, what's your experience, I guess, if any, really from the marketing standpoint and our contractors specifically, maybe it's none just because it's, mm-hmm, it's such a low, again, low cost,
yeah,
of entry.
And kind of seeing like, are you asking like what works for them? What
or,
doesn't
or
work
if you
in
even
general?
See it? I mean, do you even, like, I mean, I know, I guess from twofold, you know, mm-hmm, you being active on social,
right,
media and being a good and active and engaged employee of Comfort Supply.
Right.
I know that, you know, you follow and like a lot of our good and better customers and the ones that are on social media. So
yeah.
I guess I know that you see it from kind of just a,
right,
an interested, active, engaged party, as well as kind of an employed member of the company that's,
right,
there to support those companies. So I guess kind of just what's your take on what, you know, not to get too specific into,
right,
our who's doing what, but,
right,
like what would you say in general the contractor participation and in engagement in social media is?
So like you said, I mean, I'm doing more of the co-op stuff, so I'm seeing like ads
the
and
spend,
stuff like
the true,
yeah,
spend,
right. But I follow a lot of our,
right,
contractors. So they're out there. People are getting Facebooks, they're getting Twitters.
Would you say it's becoming more common?
I would definitely say it's becoming more common. I think kind of just like going back, and this goes all the way back talking about like Google reviews, like just small stuff to get your name out there on Facebook. And people can also do some reviews on there as well. I think simple things like Merry Christmas and I guess really what I'm getting at is like holidays, like saying holidays and just trying to get back to the community. I know it sounds,
yeah,
like,
no, absolutely,
really simple and little, but like what to, if let's say there's a yard sale,
mm-hmm,
just like post about like, oh, you know, Bob's HVAC will be walking around or during the yard sale or good luck with everyone in the yard sale. Hopefully the weather holds off. Just,
mm-hmm,
like really simple kind of small things is my opinion.
Use social media to show that you're getting involved.
Exactly. Yeah.
Would be your biggest tip.
Yes. That's my biggest tip for sure. Yep.
Cool. Very cool. I love that. We should probably do more of that. We should probably start getting,
yeah,
involved first. I'm just kidding. We're plenty involved. We are plenty involved.
Oh, man.
Cool. And I guess so I've teased at it for a little bit here, but I guess the final step, it's not really, I guess, the final step because, you know, when Sarah and Mary Beth developed this, we went back and kind of double checked in it. And we actually had some customers that have kind of already jump to the bottom here and maybe not didn't do the steps in between, but maybe, you know, just again, going back to an earlier episode where maybe some early adopters and saw the value of getting signed up with something like a Google Guaranteed and Google Services. So I guess, Sarah, Mary Beth, I don't know which one of you wants to take this, but I guess what is Google Guaranteed for those unaware? And, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about Google Local Services?
So Google Local Services is sort of the next iteration of a Google search. And it's right now it's rolled out to, I think, what did they say, like 30-some cities?
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, for anybody who's...
Pittsburgh being one of them.
Pittsburgh is one of them. If you are not in Pittsburgh, your city may or may not be involved. But this is kind of rolling out phase by phase. And what it is... people, you have to apply to be accepted into the Google Local Services program. And so you you apply for it, and basically Google will, they do a background check on your company. They want to make sure that, yeah, there's no shadiness going on. They're going to do a background check on all of your installers. So as a side note to that, if you have maybe some tech guys who have colorful backgrounds, know this going in, you may not be accepted into the program. Because they're going to be the ones going into the home. So essentially what Google is doing is they are giving this Google guarantee. And I would have to look up, like, I can't remember the exact amount that they'll guarantee and all of the, you know, the ins and outs of it, but yeah, all the legalese. But, right. What they're doing is you're going to show up at the very top, and you're going to get this like little green shield with a checkbox in it that says you're Google guaranteed. And that means that you're sort of the cream of the crop as far as installations that customers can feel really confident working with these contractors. And the reason they do a background check is they want to, you know, they're going to back this up with money. They're putting their money where their mouth is. They want to make sure that if they're recommending someone, you know, whoever is coming in to install their new toilet or furnace or whatever, isn't going to, you know, rob the house or whatever. So, so that's what they're doing, background checks. They want to make sure that
I think, you know, just to interject there, I don't think, you know, I think for the most part, the companies that are looking to do something like this are probably doing their own due diligence in that department as well. So, and I don't think Mary Beth means to call out any tech guys.
No, but I'm saying they're looking to make sure that the people that are going into your home,
the individuals that are going into the homes, is the people that they're going to be
hiring. And like they had mentioned, they said, you know, like if you have someone, you know, an installer, and maybe he had a DUI when he was 22, like that's, are you not going to be entered into the program? No, but if you have somebody who did some hard time for theft or robbery, anything that involves a home,
potential.
Are not going to, they want to make sure that the people that are going in to work on homes or to service the customers, that they're pretty much squeaky clean.
Right.
So anyways, so there's kind of this whole multi-step process to get accepted into this program. But it is pretty important because, as we heard, it's really a race to the start line. I think they said each city, they were going to take about, what, like 20 or 30 contractors within each category. So like plumbing being one.
And I believe, and sorry, I think you might have it up, but I know looking the other day, I think in Pittsburgh we're quickly approaching, I believe, almost 10 already.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly even upwards. So,
right.
You know, it is a race. You know, if you are not one of those 10 and you're one of our 5 listeners, then I strongly encourage you to go and maybe become number 11 because the spots are going to run out, and you know, Google's only going to guarantee so many of those spots.
And this goes back to, like we were saying, in steps 2 and 3 with claiming your page and getting reviews. You're going to show up higher on this ranking if you have more Google reviews. So that's why it's absolutely imperative to start collecting those reviews. And I think that is a part of the application process. They want to make sure that you've already claimed your Google My Business page. If you have, you know, 2 reviews out there and they're both 1 or 2 stars, you're probably not going to get accepted. So if you are even thinking about doing Google Local Services, make sure that you are asking everybody and their mother to give you a Google review, so that you get accepted into the program. And then, it's like we said, it's a race to the start line.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of, I know for me, when we were at the meeting, and this was actually like the first thing they talked about, this was like eye-opening because I actually didn't know about it. I don't know if you did.
I did not.
Yeah. So I was like, what is this? There's another thing now? Like, there's another place I have to look for people? So basically, if, you know, you're a homeowner or a consumer in your area, you're going to, let's just say you're here in 15205 and you type into Google furnace repair in 15205, the first thing that's going to show up is this Google Local Services, which mm-hmm. is Google guaranteed. So then, you know, you first have those guys right there. Let's say you're looking at one of them. They have really great reviews, and they have great stars as well. They're a 5 out of 5. You're like, okay, I think I'm actually going to call them. So now what does this mean? You're on your phone, you hit call, you're now on the phone with them. You've talked to them for over 30 seconds. This is actually where, everything else comes into play. And so we looked up to see what the cost of it is. So it costs you nothing under 30 seconds. If that phone call, if we hang up at 29 seconds and you're the contractor, this has cost you nothing. The fact that you're on here, you've signed up for free, you've submitted your application, they put you on Google Guaranteed. It just wasn't the right fit. It's under 30 seconds, bye. But now you go over 30 seconds. This means this is probably like this call is going to go somewhere. Yeah, exactly. And this is a lead. And so those actually cost. And so we looked up in the Pittsburgh market how much they cost, because it does vary in the different areas. And so one lead costs $25. So once that phone call is over 30 seconds, the contractor now pays Google $25. So, I mean, there is some cost to it, but we've seen with one of the Google partners that talked to us, from the time before they were Google guaranteed till now, their leads are amazing.
Well, and Sarah too, I think, you know, we'll probably have Carney in here at some point, but you know, you mentioned $25. I mean,
right.
When Carney does the math, I mean, I think the value of a lead is like $500 some dollars, right? Or something.
Right.
I mean, it's great. The actual value to an HVAC contractor of a lead is significantly more than $25. I mean, it may sound like a lot for a phone call,
right,
I think,
but
I think when, you know, if there are contractors out there and you think about the average ticket of your sale, I think you'd gladly pay $25 for a really warm lead.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This is worth like noting that this is the Google guarantee is kind of the, I guess it's the new Angie's List in a way.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what they're looking
Absolutely.
To replace. They're looking for, and it's a mutually beneficial relationship here. They only want the cream of the crop contractors. They're not going to put anybody on there that they think is maybe a little bit shady or can't handle the volume. And then the contractors know that any leads that they get through this Google guarantee, they're going to be hot leads. It's someone
right.
who is looking to book an appointment, to
well,
get a quote.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's to the point, you know, we keep saying leads, but, I mean, it could be emergency service, you know
oh,
what
right.
I mean? So it's got to be, you know, what you've got to be, I guess, committed to wanting to do business that way
yeah.
because, you know, if your emergency lines are already blown up and you can't handle that, and now you're one of the first three people that show up when someone Googles air conditioning emergency, then maybe Google guaranteed isn't for you because,
right.
because there's an expectation there and you certainly don't want to, you know, like you said, Sarah, it's 30 seconds. So if it takes that person 45 seconds to explain that they're calling because of an emergency and not because of, a system replacement quote, and you have not a second to spare for emergency calls. Well, now you've just wasted $25.
Right. Absolutely.
So I think it does take a little bit of a business evaluation, I guess, and how do you really want to, yeah. How do you want the business to come to you, I guess.
This is, yeah, I was going to make that same point, that this is really only for contractors who are not only looking to grow, they have the staff to support this, because you can only assume if you get into this Google guarantee program, your phone's going to be blowing up. You're going to be getting a lot of calls. And if you don't have the staff to support that, if you're turning down these leads, I don't really know how it works with Google, but I can't imagine that they're going to keep you in the program for very long.
I mean,
if they've sent you 500 leads and you've only, you know, answer two of those phone calls, you're wasting their time and yours.
We can only speak from our vendor experience, but I mean, if you're denying leads through vendor dealer locators, they don't have much patience or
right.
tolerance for that.
Absolutely.
So I can't imagine if Google's actually investing money that they'll that they'll have even more patience or leniency. So yeah, you've got to want to be doing that business. You know, you don't want to just go through that process and think, oh, this is what they're telling me to do. This is the hot new thing, because all you're going to do is end up going through the process, and then you're going to probably be pretty salty when you're removed from that segment of Google. So, you know, don't even, you know, if you're not really ready, we're not trying to scare people away, but I just think it's a sensible thought to have. If, you know, don't focus on that Google guaranteed, focus on honing those reviews and trying to be the number one, not Google guaranteed guy, right? If you don't have, if you don't maybe have the true staff to support the possible influx of some heavy Google guaranteed, Google local service business, maybe that's your goal, to be, I want to be that first guy that's below the Google guaranteed when, you know, and I know that's a weird goal to shoot for some guys, but if you're two guys and a couple trucks and that's all you're happy being, and you don't want to invest in the growth, then I guess then that's a reasonable, suitable, sustainable, attainable goal for you.
Yeah. Agree. I think, I hear so many times, like time and time again, everybody's like, oh, I want to show up number one on the Google search. Yeah. And I often want to go back and say, but do you really? Because do you know what exactly that entails? Like, if you don't have the staff to support it, it is a total waste of money and time. Absolutely. Like, you can't, I mean, I always want people to strive for growth, but there is such a thing as, you know, too much too fast. You don't want to be drinking from a fire hose and now suddenly your phone won't stop ringing. And yeah, you're the only person, you're a guy in your truck and you're like, you know, I'm overwhelmed. You know, we're not trying to have contractors working 23 hours a day. So this, again, that's why this is really for those contractors who are either looking to hire staff to support this growth, or they already have staff in place. If you're a small man shop, it might not be for you. And that's not to say you can't have a great thriving business with two guys and a truck. You certainly can, but just know maybe when to pump the brakes and to, you know, shoot for achievable.
Yeah, I mean,
growth.
And I just think, you know, I think if there's business owners and principals out there, I think they know their own businesses and they probably have a good idea of where they fit in and what, you know, their goals are and what kind of business they are and maybe want to be or what their vision is. So, you know, I think that's, you know, and those are conversations. If they don't, then those are certainly different conversations and things that they may want to, boxes they may want to check before they even get to seven steps like these. So, you know, and to quote Simon Sinek, you should really be starting with your why before you do anything like this. So, so yeah, I think, you know, these were really, really great, steps to success, I guess, ladies. You know, one thing to the listeners out there that Mary Beth and Sarah have created is an email distribution list, that, we'll send actually to the three of us. So if you're looking for, you know, if there's Cover Supply customers out there, and that you're looking for some marketing assistance or you'd like to dive into this process a little further with us, then you can email us at marketing@csipgh.com, and that'll go to all three, Mary Beth, myself, and Sarah, and we'd be happy to help you in any way we can, get you rolling in a variety of digital present online presence means.
And if you're not a customer, we're happy to answer your questions, but it's going to cost you a share. So a share full of
there we
hot
go.
Air.
That's great. I love
right?
that.
I'm
love
thinking
that.
Like
we
a marketer.
Will,
give us a share. Share some of our content on
there
Facebook. Full of hot air on Facebook. You know, then we're happy to answer any questions you have. Shameless plug.
That's perfect. I love that. Maybe we'll
give
have
us
more
a
than
share.
Five
we'll answer a question. And as always, if you have any specific topics that you'd like to know more about, we've gotten a lot of really good feedback so far via Facebook,
Reddit,
Twitter.
We've got a
Twitter.
Lot of good stuff coming up for you too.
We're constantly taking the pulse and seeing what people want to know about. So please feel free to reach out to us.
Absolutely. And
all right,
that's all I got.
Until then, get those counters on the website.
Oh, don't geez. Get the counters on the website. Don't do it.
Yeah. Ha 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 ha.